people here.
How many people are here?
Okay, let's continue. We're in the Rambam, Hilchas Malva Velova, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Alef, Chapter 4, Law 11. Okay, we're going to talk about more ideas of interest, okay, and with the following situation. Hamalva eschavera ala matbeya. A person lends to a friend on a specific coinage. Okay? He says, I'm lending you a dinar, zohov. Okay? A golden dinar. And it's not general, it's a specific coinage that has, and the coins in those days, the value depended on the weight. Okay? That's not like the monetary system today where it doesn't depend on anything. But here, the value depends on the weight. If it's a one dinar gold coin, because there's a dinar's worth of gold in that dinar coin. Okay? Now, and that's what you lent the guy. Now the guy's got to pay you back. But in the, and similarly, and when he writes the ksuva for the woman in case there's going to be a divorce or a death, he writes exactly the amount of coins that are there, and it's a specific weighted coin. Okay, now, what happens is, in the interim, you know, before the payback in any situation comes, the government made some changes about the coinage. Vehosifu al mishkalo, and they added to the weight of that coin. So now let's say, for whatever reason, I'm saying numbers, which I know aren't true, but just for single explanation, let's say a golden dinar had, whatever, 12 ounces of gold. We're just throwing it out, right? The government now says, from now on, all golden dinars have 13 ounces of gold. Still called a golden dinar, right? But they've added a little bit more gold to the weight of the dinar. Now that may or may not make a difference in its buying power. That will depend on what goes on in the markets. Okay? It's going to depend, and Ram's going to say what it's going to depend on in a moment. So now you lent out when the golden dinar was 12 ounces. Okay? And now, but the guy's going to have to give you back a golden dinar, and they only make golden dinars that are 13 ounces now. So now there's a question, when he pays you back, is there ribis? Because you are getting something more than what you gave him. Okay, so we'll have to see. So the first thing is, what is the result of that change? So if the result causes him, huzlu haperas machmas atosefes, if the fruits, the produce goes down in value because of the increased value of that dinar, because that dinar is worth more, so that you get more.
You buy more fruits with the dinar.
So the fruit becomes worth less because of the dinar. So if that change is to such a thing that it changes the buying power, then what happened is menakalo shir hatosefes. You have to knock down the amount of dinars you get back. So let's just hypothetically say it was 12 dinars or whatever the number will work for us. That were 12 ounces, right? Or 13 that were 12 ounces, okay? And now they've gone up from 12 ounces to 13 ounces. You give them back 12 dinars instead of 13. So you've compensated for that difference. Because that difference is a real difference because it changes the buying power. Even if the increase will make any difference in the buying power, you can't, and if you're giving him back something that's going to be able to buy more stuff, then you've got to make an adjustment what you give him back. Because if you give him back the new weighted amount, you are giving him back more than what he gave you. It doesn't matter if you intended on it or not. You cannot give back more than what you borrowed. This would certainly not be a biblical ribbis. At best, it's a rabbinic ribbis, a vach ribbis, because you didn't stipulate in the beginning that you have to give me more back afterwards. You just want the same thing back, but the same thing isn't the same thing anymore. Right? But the imlohus lumachmasosevis, but let's say that increase is not enough that it's going to change the buying power. Yes, there's more gold in there, but out in the market, it's still buying the same stuff it bought before, then ain't a monocolo. You don't have to deduct it. There's no point to deduct it. Even though theoretically he's getting more gold. Hold on. Theoretically he's getting more gold, but it's not really actually doing anything different. And it costs the same to buy the dinar because the same amount of fruits that it bought before buys the same amount of fruits. So it's really not giving anything more. So give him the coin that now is on the market at this time when the payback is going on, and there is no substantive difference. However, let's throw a little bit more over here. Even if the price of the food is not going to be changed by this, because the weight isn't so significant, or that's just the way the land's law is. They said all dinars, even though it has more gold in it, it's not going to buy you anything more. But there's still one exception to this. And what's the exception? Bamed Ramarin, when do we say that if it doesn't change the price of the fruit, you can give him back another dinar, even though it weighs more? When you give back to him where the weight is only a fifth more, if it's only a fifth more, it could still be possible. It's not going to change the buying power. And really the effect, now you could ask a question, wait a minute, even if it doesn't change the buying power, I have a fifth more gold. What if I just melt the gold down? And melt the gold down, I'm giving the guy more gold than he gave me, and the gold has an intrinsic value that notwithstanding what you buy from fruits, that I paying him back more gold than he gave me, and if we would melt the gold down, he could get more money. But that doesn't work. Why? The commentators explain, if it's only one-fifth more, then the effort and expense to melt down the gold, it costs money to melt it down and form new coins, will be offset by whatever more weighted gold you have. So it's almost a wash. Let's say it was weighted at four, and now the government made it weigh at five. It's not enough that the melting down process will give you any substantial more precious metal value in your home. But if he gave him back something that weighs more than one-fifth, even though it doesn't give you more buying power, but you have given him a substantially more amount of a precious metal, then menakalo kol tosefes, you have to deduct from the increase in that area, even though the innate value of the buying power isn't anymore, doesn't matter because you can't give him back that much more weighted gold. And the same will be in the opposite. If you gave him and it had a certain amount of weight and the government changed, instead of being more weighted, less weighted, it would be the same thing in terms of giving back less. And now it's the opposite question. Maybe you're not paying him back enough. So all the rules in the opposite direction go the same way. Now your question is?
If I lend you $100, there's 10% inflation.
Yeah.
Can I ask
for Well, not up to inflation. That's going to be another place. That's going to be another. He's going to deal with inflation's a different thing. It's another topic. We're going to get to it. We're not up to that yet. We're not. There's 24 chapters here, so let's give it time.
This is an extremely complicated question. It's a whole question on economics because you don't have a purchasing power index here. You've got individual fruits, and
He's just saying one thing. We're only looking at one factor here. We're not learning the whole 24 chapters in one moment. We're looking at one factor. If the precious metal in here. Does it give you more buying power? Does it not give you? We're not looking at
more
other factors.
Power of what?
In other words, a year ago, whatever. It's looked at one dinar is a dinar. Even though it has more weight, it buys the same across the board. It's still looked at as a dinar. Forget about any other thing. We're not talking about inflation rise. We're saying whatever cost, one dinar bought this whatever. One dinar buys five fruits. 100 dinars buys a piece of land. Whatever. Now the government says a dinar now doesn't weigh 12 ounces anymore. It weighs 13 ounces. But it's still, the buying power has not changed. Then there's not a problem.
There's a drought in grain.
There's a million factors. You're still not listening. We're saying the following. All things in the entire world being equal. No.
Local professionals.
They're out there and they're saying, if all things being equal, and the only change was the weight of the coin, and does it make a difference in buying power because of the weight of the coin? This is the only factor we're dealing with. We're not suggesting there aren't other factors that may have to be looked at, and the Rambam will deal with other factors. But right now, we're only dealing with this one factor. How does this one factor affect Rebus? There is undoubtedly many more factors.
If this happens, you go to the rabbi and you say, Rabbi, what do I do?
The rabbi will have to call up some accountants and some businessmen and say, what have happened out there in the markets? And I need to know the differences in the markets. So we'll see. But right now, we're just looking at the value of the coin per se. The weight of the coin has changed. How does just the weight deal with that and nothing more and nothing less? If the weight all of a sudden is let's say, twice the weight, and everybody in the markets there says, well, if that's the case, it has twice the buying power, then we obviously understand that there is ribbis being given. If the increase of the weight does not change the buying power because everything else has remained the same, all the other factors, then it's not a question of ribbis. We're not denying that there could be other factors involved that we would have to concern ourselves with. And there's no one denying that there could be seven different factors that could be dealing with this issue that would all have to be looked at before we can make a determination if there is a problem of ribbis or not. We're just looking at one factor here. Okay, it would depend on a lot of other factors, depending on. Well, no, but the question, well, you know what? The next halacha will have a little, it depends on where this will work to pay for it. If you're in Canada, you give them back Canadian money, right?
So it has to give you back more.
Give back the same money that you borrowed. Why are you giving back U.S. If I'm in Canada, if I borrow $100 from you, and the Canadian dollar has, let's see how it would work, gone, up, let's go down in value, and now you go to the States, you'll be able to buy more. That's not my problem, because in Canada, it buys the same. And I don't have to worry about what it does somewhere else. I borrowed $100, so I'm giving $100 back. That's all. Not if you live in Canada.
No, he said borrow $100 in Canada.
You gave me, we're living here, and I said, I need a loan.
Well, the guy, okay.
All I have is $100 US here.
And give me back, so he has to give you $100 US, because it's but has the guy received, the recipient, has he received more than the $100 he gave you? That's all we need to know. You have not given him, you have not given, no, what's the point of ribbis? I gave you X, and I'm getting more than my X. I'm not talking about how much you paid to give me. You didn't give me more than my X. It costed you more to give it to me, but I lent you $100 US, I want to get $100 US back. Now, if you'd give me 105 US, I can't take that. But if it costed you another $10 to give me my same 100 US, I didn't get anything more. For sure didn't get anything more, right? You may have to pay more to pay me, but that's, you didn't give me any more. All right, next.
Yud base.
Okay. Now we're going to do another issue with the coinage. Let's say the guy lent him whatever in a certain country, this coinage, whatever. Let's say, we'll say a lira, all right, around 1968. I don't remember, when did the lira change to shekel? Yaakov, any idea?
Bechlalna? Before his time.
Whatever. But what happened to a lira once it changed? What's it worth? But I'm saying, what's it worth once? Now they changed to shekels. What? No, well, first there was lira. First there was lira, then there was shekel, then shekel. In the day where it was a lira.
And they exchanged for 100.
And now you borrowed 100 liras. And now it's in the interim, the lira is bottle. All you got is shekel. Now we're going to add one more thing. Now I don't know. Well, let's even say better. Let's go with something that will work better now. Let's say the euro.
Okay,
the euro is in like, I don't know, 12 European countries, whatever. Okay. Let's say you're in France and you borrowed 100 euros and you got to pay back 100 euros. All of a sudden, France decides, you know what, we're mavatl the euro.
We're going back to the franc.
We got upset with all the other Italians and all the other English. We hate them all. Forget it. There's only francs now. 0 euros. However, you know, you're not far from the border between France and
Germany.
Germany. And Germany still takes euros. Okay? Now, you borrowed 100 euros. You have to pay him back 100 euros. But in France, the 100 euros are worth zippo.
They're not legal tender.
They're not legal tender. Can you still pay him back in euros or not? That's the question. So you'd base. Hamal was chaver al matpeya. The guy lent it on a specific currency. That's an important point. A specific currency. Venivson, the government now has canceled that currency. Well, you gotta pay him back, but what are you paying back? So now, if he could take that currency and go to a country that's relatively easy to get to, and that would have to be determined by a bez and what that means, but then you could still spend another country, then, Losa Medina, Vieshul Derchosa, and there's a way to go to that country, it's not that hard to get there. No, you give him back the same coinage that now is no good in France.
Give him the euro.
Go to another place and you can use the euro over there. But there's no way for him to get there, even though theoretically you could use the euro. But in practice, they now have put a blockade between, now that they not accept the euro, they now have borders and you can't get into Germany at all, let's say. No, now you got to use a coinage that's the coinage of the current currency, obviously at the right valuation. Right. So if let's say they say, okay, you borrowed 100 euros. Now in France, there's no more thing a euro, just francs. And they ask, well, what's a franc to a euro? They say, well, it's 2 euros per franc, whatever, whatever. So he gives him, 50 francs. Give him 50 francs to equal the euro. But if you can still maintain the original currency, then he gives him back the same currency if it can be spent somewhere else. All right. Now, Yud Gimel. Now the Rama's going to bring an opinion of the Gaonim that he is going to disagree with. Now, remember, we already talked about an idea of, you know, if a guy stole from you, and he stole from a lot of people, and he doesn't have money, but he wants to pay back people, we say you shouldn't take from him, right? Because that closes the door for people to do tshuva. So just keep that idea in mind. It's not exactly the same, but it'll have some relevance. Horu Mixagon, some of the Gaonim have made the following ruling. Shahalove, the borrower, Shemochal Lamalva Berivish Shalachat Mimenu. So what happened was, a guy borrowed money on interest. They're not supposed to, but they did it. He borrowed an interest and he paid back the interest. He paid it back. He borrowed 100, he gave him back 110. The malva's holding on to $110. Now, if it was ribis katsutso, what would be the halacha now? What should happen next?
Gotta give him back your money.
The court says, listen man, you're gonna give that $10 back to him right now. Okay? But, the borrower says, you know what? I'm Michael. I mean, yeah, he has to give it back, but I'm Michael. And he doesn't have to give me back the 10. I'm not interested in the 10.
The borrower
paid it already. He already paid the interest. That's the case. He paid the interest. And normally, we already said, if you pay the interest, Bezin comes along, and they tell the guy who lent him, you gotta give the 10 back. And usually the borrower would be happy to get the 10 back. And the Bezin does the dirty work for him, and they get the 10 back, because you weren't supposed to do it. That was the halacha we learned a couple days ago. But now the Bezin gets into the act, and the borrower says, you know what? I don't make a hassle. You know what? I'm Moichel. You're right. No. He should give me the 10 back, but I'm Moichel it, and he doesn't have to give me the 10 back. No. He says, don't go to the guy. I don't want to get angry at me. I don't want this. Just let him keep the 10 else. I'm Moichel it. Okay? So now, is this Mechila a Mechila or not? Will we allow him? The borrower says, I'm Moichel that you don't have to get the 10 back from him. You follow? You follow with the case? The guy says, I'm Moichel. Moichel means, I consider as if he gave it back to me already. That's all. And I'm not interested in it. Can his Mechila work that we don't have to extract it from him? So he says like this, or more than that, maybe he still has to pay him the 10. He hasn't yet given the 10, but the borrower wants that 10. And the court says, you know, you don't have to give the 10, and we don't want you to give the 10, okay? But the guy says, I'm Michael, and I will give him the 10. That's the scenario. You know, either he's given him the extra money, and the question is, do we extract it back, and he's Michael on it? Or he has not yet given it, but he promised giving it, and he's happy to still give it, and he says, although, you don't want me to give it, but I'm Michael that I can give it. Okay. Afal pi shekonu miyada shemachal. Let's go back to the first case. Even though the lender got the money and it's sitting in his hand, the extra $10 is sitting in his hand. He was kind of it. He took it. Oh, nosan matana, or he gave it to him as a gift, whatever. Eina moil klum. His mechila will not happen at all in terms of repairing it. In other words, if he's meichel, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. You might think, well, I'm meichel. If I'm meichel, then how could there be an aver if I'm meichel? So they say it doesn't help. Why? Because let's look at the whole conceptual idea of ribbis to begin with. How does ribbis happen to begin with? You want to borrow $100, guy says $110. Now most of us would say, I don't want to pay an extra $10. But the fact that you're allowing yourself to pay $10 extra, what if you, and you know the law is you're not supposed to do that, right? But the whole concept of ribbis is really only applying, where we do say the law of ribbis applies, is when the borrower is meichel to begin with. Isn't there an inherent mechila to begin with that you're letting an extra $10 be paid when nobody really likes to pay an extra $10? So he's saying, shekol ribbis shevo'ayla mechila. The whole concept of ribbis is where the borrower willingly is doing it. And guess what? Even though you're willing to be meichel, what does the Torah say?
No.
Torah says, you know what? You're very nice. You want to be meichel. But God says, I'm not letting you be meichel. And you have to pay. For us from mechilazu. So the initial starting of ribbis, which is really based on the fact that the borrower is being meichel. And the Torah says, we don't care what your mechila is, not considered a mechila. Lefikach, therefore, ein ha-mechila mo'eles peribis, mechila will not help by ribbis, and any kind of ribbis, afilu beribis shel divrayim, even rabbinic ribbis, where the lovet really doesn't get anything back. We'll discuss rabbinic ribbis, you're not always getting actual money back. There could be other benefits, but not actual money. Still, you can't be mechila on that. Can't be mechila on an aveira, so to speak. So just like when you're starting it off to do it incorrectly, it's totally based on mechila, and the Torah says we don't accept your mechila as any kind of mechila. So after you've done the avera, we also don't allow, because mechila is not a recognized factor when we're dealing with interest. That is the Gaonim's opinions. The Rambam is going to disagree with this. Yeah? Your question?
So, borrower says, I need $100. The lender says, I want to lend you $100. And of course, I'm not going to charge you interest, but I do have a birthday coming up.
Well, that's rabbinic interest. That's rabbinic. Anything you would do for the lender that you would normally not do if he wasn't lending to you is one form of ribbis or another. Now, it might not be, it's not ribbis katsutso, it would be rabbinic ribbis. It wouldn't be biblical ribbis, but that's also ribbis. If you're going to, again, If you never lent me the money, would I have given you a birthday present? So I'm not doing anything different. Let's say every day I give you a ride to work for free. And you lent me $100 now. Now, I can't give you a ride? Of course I can give you a ride. I've been giving you a ride every day even without the loan. But something has dramatically changed all of a sudden because of the loan. That's the problem. Now, that's the opinion of the Gaonim. The Rambam disagrees. He says, Yera li, I hold she'ein hora zu nechona. This is not a proper psak halacha. Why? Once we say, and here's where he makes this little subtle distinction, which you could disagree with, because the Gonim seem to be pretty logical over here, but you'll see Rambam's going to have a good question on the Gonim. He says, once we tell the Malve, the borrower, that you've got to give it back. And the Malve knows, Shedavar Isroser, he did something wrong. V'yesh lo, and the lova, it's been recognized by the court, li told mimenu to take it back to him, and the Besen has already made it a law, not a law, but a ruling, that he has to give it back. So we've already undone the damage, as it were. We've already ruled that money is not yours anymore. That money has to go back, and as far as we're concerned, there's only one thing missing. He just has to pick it up and take it. But once the court has gone to the point of literally, at least from a psak halacha, have removed the money, once the permission, once the paper was signed by the court, the money is going back to the guy, As far as we're concerned, things have been fixed up already. Because that $10 that's sitting in the lender's pocket, the Beis Din already says that belongs to the Lovan. Now, so once they've done that, and once they've legally said, you know, you're not entitled to that $10 anymore. It's that guy's $10. Once that's happened, then it's imrat zalimchol. If he wants to be Michael, he can be Michael. Because it's not like it wasn't ruled to go back. The Rambam says once it's ruled to go back, it's as if you fixed it. Now it's like he's saying, okay, we fixed it, but you know what? I'm willing to give it back to you afterwards. Now the question is, wait a minute, what precedent do you have for this? I mean, you hear the idea. It's like, if the Rambam said, well, if you want to say that Mechila means we're not even going through due process, and we're not having the Bezin reverse, at least from on the books, well, that you can't do, because you can't be Moichel on that. But Rambam is saying, but we've done more. We've already put on the books that it has been reversed. What you did is undone.
But he hasn't paid yet.
But he just hasn't given it. That's all. But the Bezin has already ruled. The Rambam would say, if the Bezin hasn't ruled yet, well, there's nothing to be Moichel yet. We've got to legally say the ownership has gone back, at least legally. Once that's happened, it's effectively been done. Now it's just a technicality of actually him taking it. So that part, he can be mochel. You're going to say, well, what precedent do you have to go by to make that statement? He says, I got a proof to this. Kiderach shemoichel gosel, just like a person who was stolen from you, you can be mochel the gosel, you don't have to pay me back. Guy steals from you, he's caught in court. The bezin says you have to pay him back. We caught you red-handed, you have to pay him $50. So I agree, everybody agrees. Guess what, bezin? Thank you very much, I'm mochel. And that, you can do that. Ubeferish Amar Chachamim. Remember what we just said three halachas ago. Wait. Shagazlanu Mavibrivis. People who steal, customarily steal as a livelihood. And people who lend money, Shech Ziru, and they decide to return on their own initiative. We already said, Ein Makabli Mehem. You're not supposed to even take from them. Right? Okay, we did it for the sake of tshuva. But still, it has to work under the aegis of Mechila. There'll be some kind of Mechila. How can a guy get away with not paying back? So we see that there's an agency of Mechila working over here. Mechla, we see Shamechila Moelas. You have to say that Mechila helps. So it comes out that the Rambam would argue on the Gaonim only in a case where the ribbis was already collected and the Beis Din said he has to give it back. So the Gaonim says he cannot be mochel. The Rambam says he can be mochel. But clearly, in the case where the money has not been taken yet, clearly even the Rambam would agree he can't be mochel, that he has to give it to him. Because then you're still giving the guy the ribbis. You understand? The Gaonim said you can't be mochel either way. The Rambam said you can be mochel only on that if he already took it, you won't have to give it back because we have a precedent that if a guy wants to do tshuva, you're not supposed to take from him. But to go so far to say that the guy promised to give it, he hasn't yet given it, but he's mochel that he could still give it, well, that's really giving it. So that is, the Rambam would say that could never help. So it comes up, the machlokas is, can he be mochel to give it back? The Gaonim say no, the Rambam say yes, and that remains an outstanding machlokas.
He already has handed over the interest. Why doesn't the court say we're going to hold it in escrow? That we're going to confiscate. You shouldn't have this money. We're going to take the $10.
But it's not. But it doesn't help because you haven't given it back.
What?
Holding an escrow doesn't help if it's not going back.
You're not going to benefit from it. Either the court's going to keep it or it's going to go back to the original guy.
Okay. Well, if they hold it, what? You're just wasting the money. That doesn't help. If the Bezin just takes it, so what do we do with it? Just let it sit there forever?
No, usually there's a time limit.
And then what happens after the escrow time? Then what?
It goes to the judges.
That doesn't help. That doesn't help.
There's an analogy with the crook. I say it doesn't work.
Even though it was done...
Because someone steals from lawyers, the card doesn't say, you can't work on it. Like, if you say to me, keep it, it's okay, there's nothing wrong. But you can't say, here's your interest.
I already gave it to him, though. I already gave it to him.
Right, so
and the Beis Din says,
but
I already did that. The Beis Din says he has to give it back. We agree to the Psak. He has to give it back. So they've already fixed it. The Rambam says that, no. Once Beis Din says he has to give it back, they've already fixed it. The guy wants to be Moichel on the repair. That's already after Salah. That's the difference between the two opinions. Okay. Rabbi.
There are two different things.
Okay. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Rasa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakeh Sol Pika, Herber Tormen Shenemar, Nechav Itzman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah, V'yadir. Amen.